T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Cody and Gold into the 1 o'clock hour. Danny Welniak of KC5 going to join us in just a little bit. Thanks again to Chris Jones for calling into the show. Exciting day for him, the launch of his foundation, Sac Nation. And talking about that, I remember even around the Super Bowl when he was doing his media availability, he mentioned how excited he was to be able to launch this. It's something he'd been working on for quite some time to give back to this community and, of course, communities across the country with this. And among it, just one of the initial initiatives is he's trying to, of course, better the lives of kids. But you think about beginning by providing 300 kids with the means to play flag football, partnering up with the Chiefs and their flag football initiative as well. So great stuff from Chris Jones, and you can, of course, go to @SacNation95. That's the official Twitter account if you want to give them a follow, and then SacNation.com if you want to find out how to participate, help donate to Chris Jones Foundation and his way of contributing to the community. Really cool to see that. And then he mentioned J.J. Watt. He's like, well, yeah, obviously, you know, I like some of these young guys we got, but of course he'd love to have J.J. Watt part of the mix.
Having veteran players who can help get pass rush help? Yeah, I'm for it. That's still an area of need over it. And, you know, you heard him say, hey, what is this thing you're working on? Getting more sacks, mm-hmm. Well, affecting the quarterback more. That was a problem.
Yeah. And he said, I promised Chiefs fans, last year he did an interview with us, and he said, you know, he wants to be defensive player of the year. Yeah. And he reiterated that just a few minutes ago and said, that's still a goal of mine. I told you guys that I want to be defensive, and I'm going to be defensive player of the year. So you can tell where his mind is at heading into this offseason.
He still went, you know how you get defensive player of the year as a defensive lineman? Sacks.
Got to rack up the sacks.
Sacks.
Got to do it.
I mean, you got to get past Aaron Donald, too, but sacks. Lots of them. That's a good way to get a start there. I think Chris Jones is certainly capable of. We've seen 16.5 sack seasons from him. Over the last 2 years, that number's gone down, and not all his fault, obviously. I think a big thing that will help them is getting a third pass rusher. Not just him in general, just the defensive line and everybody else in general. I think that'll make a big difference.
It's good to have Chris Jones joining us here on your official Chiefs broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio. Someone that joins us each and every Tuesday here on the show, Danny Welniak over at KCTV5, of course, sports director there. Danny, good to have you on the show again. And I guess, okay, we'll try to connect with Danny there. I obviously do not have Danny Welniak connected fully. My apologies on that. I was so excited to talk to Danny about
our... I have a text from her that says, yep, I'm already here.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. But oh, good. You tell me we're good to go. I was going to ask her about the combine stuff. I want to get her perspective on that. And of course,
I'm in second place. I'm doing fine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Danny, good to have you on
the show. I'm in second place. I'm doing fine. What place are you in?
Well, I'm in fourth. I'm in fourth place, Danny.
They're trying to give me a hard time, Danny. I'm in second place. I think after the bench press tomorrow, I'll be in first.
Okay. I think that sounds great. Hey, you know what? You've got to be optimistic if you want to be a winner. So I believe that you can still make up ground, Cody. I did pick you to win. So let's do this again. Run it back. Come on. Prove me right.
Yeah, see, exactly. I don't want to come up short like Kansas City. I'm obviously trying to avoid that. But it's a matter. I think a lot of it's going to come down to where did I finish in the vertical and where did I finish in the 40? And as you recall, there was a little bit of controversy over my vertical last year. So I'll get either a lot of redemption this year in the vertical, where I can finally be like, ha, I told you so. Or, Danny, unfortunately, it could really go the other way. If my vertical is like 2 inches shorter, Gold's never going to let me live it down.
Do you have like an idea of where you're at? Have you been practicing? I know last time we talked about going through it.
I swear to you. Look, I wish I did. I feel like I'd have done better in the broad jump if I had practiced. I did visualize it in my mind's eye, like Danny talked about.
There you go. Proud
I did
you.
Not
yep.
physically practice the broad jump. I'll do that over the course of this next year. Because if I come up short, I'll be like the Chiefs, Danny. I'll be hungrier than ever, ready to get back to the Super Bowl. And that's one of the things that, like, with the Chiefs, we're going to talk a lot about this year, is how few teams are capable of getting back to a third Super Bowl. I still have a hard time saying that it's a terrible long shot for Kansas City, because I don't still feel like, while there will be more roster turnover than last year, they're still going to return all their stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a long shot. Do I think it's absolutely difficult to do? Sure, because you're a team and your stars are, as a whole, taking just an extra few games of a beating. And it's really hard for bodies to recover and to play at the same level as you do when you make that first run. I mean, the Chiefs were able to do it last year, but we saw how banged up they were in a lot of different positions, especially on the offensive line. Now, the opt-outs hurted them too, or hurt them as well. But you saw the toll that it kind of took. But I do. I think that they have the opportunity to run it back again. What, they've got 20-plus free agents or players that will become free agents that they're going to have to figure out what they can do. But a lot of that is more so quantity than it is quality. And so I think it all kind of comes down to, can you keep these guys healthy? Can you get more depth on the offensive line? And when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, I mean, for the most part, we saw them stay relatively healthy throughout the year, and they were able to be in when it mattered most. So I think that they have a very good chance of running it back and getting back to the Super Bowl yet again this coming season.
Is there a certain position, if you look at the draft, Danny, we're 65 days or so away, where you're like, you know what, I have zero interest in them drafting this position, other than, of course, quarterback or maybe even running back, areas that they clearly don't need to necessarily draft anybody. Is there a position where you're like, they can stay away from this altogether?
Well, I was super wrong last year because I thought that they were totally fine at running back, and then they go out and draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the bottom of the first round. So that was an amazing pickup and a very good job by Brett Veach. So I was very wrong last year thinking they didn't need a running back. So I'm probably going to be wrong again this year, and they'll probably end up going with the exact position that I'm like, yeah, they're fine. They don't need that. But I think that they're pretty set. I know that you could probably talk about the potential of, like, picking up a J.J. Watt or something on the defensive line, but I think that they're real good on the D-line. I don't necessarily think they need any more depth there. They've got really, really good guys that they're able to rotate in and out. And so I would say they don't need to work on the defensive line. They definitely need to get some guys on the offensive line, though, on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and maybe look at some linebackers to just improve that depth. And then, I mean, then the question becomes, like, what does free agency look like for these guys, and what do they need when it comes to the secondary positions? So what are they doing with Charvarius Ward and Bashaud Breland? And then once we kind of figure out that, then I think my mindset going into the draft will probably change.
When you look at, well, not, yeah, there's a couple of positions I just don't have any interest in doing at this stage. Do you think they actually need the 8 picks they're projected to have? I know they have 6 right now, Danny. Good chance they got 4 and 5. I'm actually, for the first time, I'm usually just like, I'm like, reach. Trade away the picks, get the guys you really want, get 6 guys in here, and let's move on about our day. But because he's been so much better at the end of the draft, do you think that Kansas City should be using all 8 picks they're currently at, get more than that, trade up? How do you kind of feel the early feeling of the 60 days out is for how Kansas City should be using those?
Yeah, I think why not? You know, the more picks, the better, in my opinion. And especially, like you mentioned, Cody, with what they've been able to do late in the draft, utilize those on picks, trade back, trade up in the later rounds to find the guys that you really want, that you think there's going to be a lot of potential. And they're not necessarily going to cost you a whole lot, but they're going to be contributors. So I think you stick with those 8 picks. Do I think that they'll actually stick with those 8 picks? Probably not, because Veach is very good at trading around and making sure that he utilizes those picks to get the guys that he does want. But a lot of times the guys they want end up falling to them, or they find a way to, you know, get them even later on in the draft. So who knows? Maybe they end up with more picks because of the finagling that goes on during those 3 days. But I think that you stick with the 8 picks for now, and I think you utilize what you can later on in the draft.
We're chatting with Danny Welniak from KSTV5, our weekly conversation with Danny. And we were talking earlier about the Royals, and now we're back to baseball season. It's great to see some of those videos. We're all jealous of everybody out in Surprise, Arizona, and the great weather. Although we look outside today in KC, it's fantastic
beautiful.
Here.
So we'll today's been beautiful.
Today we'll take it. But it's just getting started out there. If you look at this Royals team, and we have a decent idea of what this lineup is now going to look like, if you look at the one or two reasons that this is going to be a successful season, is there one or two areas or individuals that stick out?
I think you probably can go back to the starting rotation. I think that a lot of those guys have really put in a lot of work this offseason, and they are preaching and singing their praises down in Surprise from what I've heard from Mike Matheny. And they're so excited about their pitchers and what they've brought to the table. And really, those are the guys that they've gotten to see the most of because they've been out there the longest. I mean, the full squad just had their first workout yesterday. But I do think that the pitchers are going to be really fun to watch this year. I mean, I thought it was really interesting that Salvador Perez doesn't usually go out of his way to really boast on guys that necessarily may or may not make the squad, but he pointed out that he was really impressed with Daniel Lynch and said that, you know, most lefties can't consistently throw 100 miles per hour, but that's what he's seeing out of that guy this year. And so I thought that was really insightful. So when it comes to the starting pitching, I think you're going to see a lot of good stuff from them. I also think there are changes in the outfield for sure, but I think that that's going to be one of the strong suits for Kansas City as well. And I know that's kind of been their mantra in the past, is that defense, has been their opportunity to win championships and to make deep runs in October. So I think that you can really, really be positive about what they're doing with the pitching staff, and what they're doing with their outfielders.
Well, they're obviously better defensively, I think, than they were last year. That's actually been, like, they've been okay defensively, but I wouldn't say that they've been, you know, electric defensively by any standard in there. But, Danny, like, what you're talking about, the ability to score runs, they're like, we're a defensive team. That's how we do it. The year they won the World Series, they were the sixth or the seventh highest team scoring in baseball. Only the Astros, Rockies, Red Sox, Rangers, Yankees, and Blue Jays scored more runs than they did. They have been a bottom five offense for two consecutive years. I mean, more even than defense. They got to learn to score, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. But that's something that you're not quite sure what you're going to get out of them until you finally figure out this lineup. And I know that last year was so strange with 2020 and there only being a 60-game season. And I mean, even the pitching staff was weird. And that's one of the things they're talking about, how they're having to adjust and figure out what's going to work for them going from, you know, 60 games to 162. And it's just going to be very interesting to see what Mike Matheny does with the batting lineup going into this regular season. And if he plays with it as much as he did last year. And there was a lot of moving parts and we didn't really get to see like the true identity of the offensive side of this team because it was so in and out and they were changing things up so much to see, you know, who fit well, who played well, who was going to be in a good part of the lineup to produce runs. And I just don't think they found that last year. And I think that's what they're really looking for. So do they need to produce more runs? Absolutely. But I have no idea what that lineup even looks like.
Yeah, we just get stuck in the where does Mondesi go? How does Mondesi help things? Can Mondesi be the guy? Because like he does seemingly become the linchpin of good or great or good to very good, not great probably, but good to very good, below average to average, whatever it's going to be. Mondesi seems to always be that linchpin.
Yeah, and the problem was that I think we just, as Kansas City fans and people who've been covering the team and covering him for a while, is that you expect him to go from good to great. And there's been all that talk about how much potential he has and that he can be. I mean, at one point, people were even comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, to being the Mahomes of the Royals. And that's, as we've seen, definitely not the case because of how inconsistent he's been. And so you hope that that light is going to click at some point, that he's going to be that linchpin that you mentioned, that he's going to change that lineup and that they're going to be able to utilize speed and be able to use him to really start like a spark, like momentum for them. But at this point, I just don't know. Like, I can't put all my faith in him to be that linchpin when he has been so inconsistent over the past couple of years.
Lastly, for Danny Welniak, as far as your time being in professional sports and playing football, did you ever have a coach just say, you know what, go out there, have fun, smile, and here's a smiley face on the whiteboard?
Well, I don't know where this came from, but no, absolutely.
Oh, you didn't hear about Bruce Weber? Apparently, right before they beat TCU, he told them to go out and have some fun, and he drew smiley faces on the whiteboard.
I do also think that there's a difference between collegiate sports and pro sports. And I do think that there's like a different level of expectations. And it also just kind of depends on the program. I mean, Bruce Weber talks about the play hard chart, and I've never seen a play hard chart in my experience as an athlete. Do they expect you to go out and play hard? Yeah, absolutely. You're out there because you're a competitor. You're an athlete and you want to win. But I think that you, as a coach, you have to figure out what motivates your guys. And he's dealing with a lot of young guys on that team right now. And look, I am a Bruce Weber defender. I know I probably shouldn't be, but I think that what he's done with that program has been very good over the past few years or so, getting them to an Elite Eight, winning a Big 12. I just think that, and even Bill Self mentioned before going into the Sunflower Showdown, that this team is one of the youngest teams in the NCAA besides Kentucky. And so he believes that at some point they're going to be a lot better here in the next couple of years, and that they're going to end up with a Big Three like the Dean Wade and the Kamau Stokes and the Barry Brown kind of era. But I maybe that's what motivates them right now. Maybe they need that positive energy, and maybe that's what's working. I hate to be one to criticize what a coach does, because he knows what goes on in that locker room much better than I do. But to your point, I have never had a coach in my professional career or my collegiate career write a smiley face on a whiteboard.
Hey, they lost 13 games in a row before the smiley faces. Whatever works.
Eesh. If you got to change your philosophy, you got to do something to make it work, right?
Danny Welniak, sports director over at KCTV5. Thanks as always, Danny. We'll check in next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Coming up next, we'll have an update on the latest controversy with our 6'10 combine, an update from those that are in charge as well, and we'll see if it's a valid reason. Plus, we'll get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip funding guys at kclend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
St. Patrick Mahomes Day, Wednesday, March 17th, 610 Sports Radio. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, some disturbing news, potentially disturbing news. Few different reports, not confirmed at this point in time, but CBS Sports Radio out in Las Vegas, as well as iHeartMedia in the LA area, reporting that Tiger Woods, of course, golfer Tiger Woods, was injured in a crash out in California, an area on the southwest side of the LA metro. That is all that is out there at this point in time. We will continue to keep an eye on that. Obviously, scary situation. Another report suggests that he had to be removed from the vehicle with the jaws of life. So we'll keep an eye on this and hope that this is completely wrong. And let's hope that no car crash did occur, period. But something to keep an eye on here throughout the rest of the afternoon. In fact, now the L.A. County Sheriff has just, let me read this. The L.A. County official sheriff Twitter account from out in L.A. just put out a tweet this morning. L.A. County Sheriff responded to a rollover collision in which Tiger Woods was injured. On February 23rd at approximately 7:12 a.m., respond to a single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estates out in Palo Verde. The vehicle was traveling northbound, blah, blah, blah. When it crashed, the vehicle sustained major damage. The driver and sole occupant was identified as PGA golfer Tiger Woods. Mr. Woods was extricated from the wreck with the jaws of life by L.A. County firefighters and paramedics and transported to a local hospital by ambulance for his injuries. The traffic investigation is being conducted by investigators. That is from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. Scary, scary situation. Our prayers with Tiger Woods. But that is all we know at this point in time. But I just hate, obviously, seeing that.
You know, single car accident and all that stuff, too, is always terrifying because you don't know the circumstances that lead to it. When we know more, we will certainly tell you more based on that accident in L.A. involving Tiger Woods. Next up on What's Trending, an incredible opportunity and a horrible loss from us just a few weeks ago. Therese Paylor had passed away a few weeks ago, as you remember. Well, now, something to honor his name. The Therese Paylor Scholarship has officially been started at Howard University. It's been started by a combination of the Wall Street Journal and our friends over at the Kansas City Star. You can make a donation at any side. The idea, as Sam Mellinger put it on Twitter, to inspire more young black journalists to do the kinds of things Therese Paylor did in his life. If you go there, you can click the link. You can find it at 610 Sports KC or Cody B. Tapp on Twitter. Under tribute, just note the gift is in memory of Therese A. Paylor under the designation. Click on Other and write Therese A. Paylor Scholarship. If you're looking for those instructions, I have them up on my Twitter account, but an amazing scholarship over at Howard University to honor our friend Therese Paylor, started by a couple of other media outlets. Please, 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 if you can, go donate to that incredible cause.
Next up on What's Trending, the franchise tag window officially opened today across the National Football League. Ian Rappaport reporting that, Kenny Galladay, Chris Godwin, Dak Prescott, three candidates likely to be franchise tagged. That window's officially open. Last year, we had to deal with the conversations about whether Chris Jones would be. Nice to not have any member of the Chiefs, at least in that sort of position. But just another sign that the offseason is in full swing in the National Football League with that news. We'll see if Dak Prescott can get a long-term deal with the Cowboys.
Although Jane Slater, who covers the Cowboys down there in Texas and is pretty sourced up, says Dak Prescott won't be franchise tagged today. Didn't mean that he won't. They obviously have about 3 weeks or so to make that determination, Gold. The plan, according to her, is that they would still like to work on a long-term deal, but that the conversations have started, haven't really gotten anywhere just yet, right? Very, 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 very early on in that process for them as well. Next up on What's Trending, local college basketball tonight. A couple of big games, actually. Number 17, Kansas, is going to take on number 14, Texas tonight. At 8 o'clock, you got to remember, Kansas is coming off that win against Texas Tech, where they played some incredible defense. It's actually a really good piece by C.J. Moore over The Athletic about just how good defensively Kansas has been here lately in their run. But if they're able to do that, they guarantee themselves wins out of two or three games against Texas Tech and Baylor,
yeah.
Or Texas Tech and Texas. They have Baylor scheduled on Saturday. I don't know if that game will be played. Baylor's game on Thursday is already in question, because they're trying to figure out how to get Baylor games in. Baylor hasn't played anyone. They look like the second-best team in the country, but they legitimately barely ever play anymore. So there's a lot of questions about there. But if you have three straight ranked opponents and you beat the first two, it wouldn't even matter if they play Baylor on Saturday and lost. That would be good enough.
Sure.
MU will take on Ole Miss tonight at 8 and K-State tonight on 610 Sports Radio. That game starting at 8 and well. It's very tough. Number 7, Oklahoma.
Good college hoops coming your way tonight as we get the home stretch of the regular season for college basketball. And then, of course, the Big 12 tournament and SEC tournament will be here before we know it. Lastly, on What's Trending, the NFL reportedly requesting on their new TV deal with Disney for the Monday Night Football package $3.5 billion. ESPN is countering at 2.4. So they're over a billion dollars away from each other. This will continue into the offseason, but it just tells you the value that the NFL places on their product. Clearly, what still ESPN places on it, $2.4 billion. Do they meet halfway? Do they get close to the 3.5? Is 3.5 all the NFL will do? We'll see. But this is a reminder of why the salary cap will continue to go up once they get past this pandemic in the NFL, because you've got just boatloads of new TV money coming
yep.
in. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Tough to get through what's trending, quite honestly. Obviously, a great honor for Therese Paylor and his yeah. legacy with the scholarship, but to start there, the breaking news out in L.A. involving Tiger Woods. We just played the cut yesterday on the show, the interview Tiger Woods was doing with Jim Nantz out at the Genesis Invitational, and was asking Tiger about his future. You know, Tiger had back surgery in December. Clearly, you could tell he was not
hadn't swung a golf club yet.
And there was a lot of speculation that he wouldn't play in the Masters. And then again, the news now confirmed by the L.A. County Sheriffs out in L.A. that Tiger Woods was involved in a single vehicle rollover collision, and they had to use the jaws of life. And anytime you hear that, obviously it tells you the severity of what's involved.
Well, they called
here.
It major damage.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we're talking about a vehicle rolling over. So he has been in the hospital since this morning. That is all that is out there at this point in time. And so you know, we're not going to speculate anything more than that. But just troubling and sad to hear that news. And our thoughts of that with Tiger Woods and his family, and that he can get out of this situation. And move forward with his life. I mean, that's just terrible to hear even any news like this for anybody.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you always end up asking the question about somebody who's already had, like, just regular injury issues, obviously, throughout his career. Like, how serious are the injuries, and are they going to affect his, you know, like, he'll ask himself those questions.
Yeah, that's
you just want him to be okay.
I think we're a ways away from worrying about whether he's going to play golf again. Let's make sure he can get through this. I mean, this is a very serious accident. Let's make sure Tiger Woods can actually get through this incident, period.
Absolutely. They said he was sent to the hospital, transported to a local hospital for his injuries. Yeah. But there is no other, you know, there is no other information right now. Yeah. So we don't even know exactly where this the injury accident is occurring, other than at this point, the L.A. County Sheriff has mentioned that it was a single car rollover accident with major damage to the car, in which he had to be sent to the hospital for his injuries. So we'll hopefully find out more about, you know, how Tiger Woods is doing, obviously, in the upcoming, you know, time here the rest of the day.
At this point in time, nobody from his agent, nobody's put out any statement directly from him. The statement just coming from the incident report, really, from the LA County Sheriff's. But we had seen over the last hour a few just random reports, and we weren't sure on the validity of those. We were hoping they were wrong, quite honestly.
They seem like people who probably were saying it, but like you're waiting for that source.
You know, unfortunately, now it has been confirmed from the LA County Sheriff. So we'll keep an eye on that while we're on the air. And if not, of course, I'm sure the guys on the drive will keep an eye on that when they take over at 2 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio. A reminder, Chris Jones, he joined us, if you missed it, at the end of the noon hour. It carried over into the 1 o'clock hour. This hour is, if you missed that conversation, it's podcasted up already at 610sports.com and the radio.com app. Chris Jones's brand new foundation officially launching today, Sac Nation. So congratulations to him and the great work that he continues to do. And just reminds you, whether you're talking about Travis Kelce, who was up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and his foundation and what he's able to do in the community. And just to see, I mean, there's countless guys on this team. Of course, Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu's got his foundation. And just to see how they continue
Travis
to give
Kelce
back.
Travis Kelce was a nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Yep. Right. Yep, exactly.
It's a long list. No, it was, I'm glad that he's doing. Like, I'm glad anytime somebody can put back into the community. Certainly when you get this kind of, you know, because it's franchise tag day, right? Not the final day, not the only day, but it's the one where you can officially do that to a player. Like, it's nice that last year after going through that, he got the kind of resources to put together the foundations that meant so much to him, Gold. Like, really, really cool that he's sticking that in Kansas City. If you missed that interview, he'll talk about that and then some of the things of getting back to where they want to be. How he wants to get back to where he wants to be. You asked him what his biggest offseason goal was. He said, find a way to get more sacks, affect the quarterback. It's the same stuff. That's his job. His job is to bother the quarterback, and they only pressured, what, Tom Brady 4 times in the Super Bowl, 5 times in the Super Bowl? Like, I think when you look at your team that way, you've got to find a way to, you know, make sure that counts for more. You do more there.
Yeah, I also mentioned J.J. Watt a little bit there, too, and certainly happy with the young core of guys that they have there, but still saying that, yeah, of course they'd be interested in having a player like J.J. Watt alongside, and that's going to be something that is going to drag out for this offseason. I don't know. Like, I don't think J.J. Watt is going to have a decision made anytime soon, personally, on where he's going to end. And again, there's not been anything that's linked him to Kansas City, by the way. It's just, it's been more, Cleveland because of reports. It's been Green Bay because of it's Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it's been Pittsburgh because, well, his brothers are playing out there. But appreciate Chris Jones for joining us. You mentioned during What's Trending, we were talking about local hoops. It is a big night of local hoops, actually. Number 17 Kansas taking on Texas, top 15 matchup there, with Texas being 14th in the country. And then, of course, Mizzou trying to continue and now build on a win from the weekend and take on Ole Miss. You had said probably 3 weeks ago that you thought Missouri would go further than Kansas in the NCAA tournament. Do you still feel that way? It's February 23rd, so it's been about 3.5 weeks. Do you still feel good about that?
I think it's kind of a toss-up, truthfully. I think that there's a pretty good chance that it's in between. Like, I think there's a chance both could go to about the Sweet 16, but I don't think either team is going deeper than that at this stage. But if Missouri were to go further than Kansas in the tournament, the reason why they would do it is experience. And Jeremiah Tillman, truthfully. Like, Kansas has some players as good as Jeremiah Tillman, but I don't think they affect the up and down, the everyday of Kansas as much. Not one player seems to, like, swing Kansas all the way out of the game or all the way in the game. They just play bad offensively sometimes. They have been playing such good defense, they've been making up for that. But Missouri goes and is functional by Jeremiah Tillman alone. And so the thought being that if he plays well and they have the experience that they have more, certainly, I think, like a more cohesive team than Kansas had a majority of the year, I think they got a chance to do it. Offense is the reason that they would lose early. And I think we know that because they're not a particularly good shooting team. But if they're to go further than Kansas, I think that that's why.
Yeah, that the fact that they can go ice cold in a hurry is going to be if we're sitting here.
Yeah, but is Kansas a juggernaut?
No. I'm talking about Missouri right now. I'll get to Kansas. With Missouri for sure. It's if you're looking at them. If we're sitting here after the first weekend, and Missouri is out after the first game or the second game, it's probably not going to be because, well, they shot great and their defense was poor, or they're going to probably have one of those performances that they had in the second half. We're probably going to be talking about, oh, wow, second half, they had a lead and they blew it. Like, that's what's happened a couple times. Those are the ways we probably talk about Missouri not going far in the tournament. For Kansas, you're 100% right. Kansas, even though they've been winning as of late, they still struggle to score, and that's not changing. I think Bryce Thompson's been a big boost for them, no doubt. And the play he made against Texas Tech early on, the layup he made, was just a play that not many people on that team can make. It's just the athleticism that he has is something he brings to the table. But they still struggle to score. It's not like
they do.
It's not like they're putting up 80 points or seven, you know, even sometimes in the 70s. They struggle. Even that game against K-State, they struggled to get to 61 right in that game. In fact, they got to 59, if I'm not mistaken. It was like 59-41 in the win
they
against
did.
K-State. So they're not putting up.
I mean, K-State didn't barely got to 40, but yes, yeah. Point taken.
How they get further, though, is the defense. Their defense the last five games or so have been playing better as far as per possession. And I understand not all five were against quality opponents, but they have been in a spot where they've been playing per possession of points given up better than anybody at the high major level. In fact, CJ Moore from The Athletic put out this, Kansas allowing 0.81 points per possession over the last five, the lowest five-game defensive efficiency against high majors in college basketball this year. So their defense is what would get them there. I think both these teams very easily could be out in the first weekend. Both teams with where they're seated right now. Missouri's what? Could be a 5 or 6. Kansas, right now, Lenardi has a 4, but they could fall to a 5 or a 6.
Similar
certainly.
Range.
And so, 6, you know, what was it? 6-12 matchups, 6-11 matchups. Like, those are games that you could easily get upset.
5-12? Like, that
yeah.
tends
yeah.
to be those. Well, that's for both teams,
yeah.
right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And so it's, you know, there's no guarantees with either of these teams. You wouldn't be surprised if they were out the first game. I also don't think you should be stunned, though, if both these teams somehow did end up in the Sweet 16. I know the way Kansas is playing defense, it gives them a shot. And Missouri, the way they played early in the season, they've proven they can beat some quality
yeah.
teams.
I feel bad for both of these teams. And really, part of the reason Missouri is being held back in that 3-game losing streak, Gold, was because they weren't playing good defense. Obviously, Kansas has been playing phenomenal defense. Man, I know Virginia won it last year. It's just like all those years of them being like, look how good we are defensively, and then falling short, like, has me spooked a little bit for a lot of teams. You know why? Because it only takes one team just shooting well, even though you play good defense. Because Kansas hasn't really been keeping up with it. Like, if somebody scored on you, Kansas and Missouri both, right? Both, Gold, would have a problem. They would both have an issue, I would think, from a scoring front. And so I just think that, you know, these teams, weirdly enough, start to feel similar. Like, Kansas typically recruits better talent, has some better shooters, but they both struggle offensively. They both have a coach who has done a good job adjusting their defense throughout the season. I think Kansas has been the better defensive team this year, certainly. But Missouri is usually a pretty good defensive team. But man, I'm having a hard time seeing how it is, you know, plausible, I guess, that, you know, both of these teams or either of these teams go kind of far in this thing. It just doesn't seem likely right now. But I still think Missouri has just as likely of a chance as Kansas. Because, and probably just because experience. Like, that's it. Like, that's it. You know, like, they were just together longer.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, in the pandemic year where you didn't get training camp and teams that have new players like Duke, I just assume that, you know, that's going to play a bigger difference in this thing.
All of a sudden, by the way, Duke playing good basketball, too.
And they won 3 in a row.
Which is really
random. Duke.
They blew out Syracuse last night, as a matter of fact, which is always, not that I like seeing Duke win necessarily, but always nice when Syracuse loses as well. So that's where things are at on college hoops. Big night for the local schools. We'll, of course, check in on that. And you can hear K-State tonight on 610 Sports Radio against number 7, Oklahoma. That'll be at 8 o'clock. And then, of course, Mizzou taking on Ole Miss over on KMBZ. That one also at 8 o'clock. Tip as well. So just a quick, I've seen some photos coming out. Apparently, obviously, not that you would expect them to look good, but people are putting CNN and multiple outlets now have helicopters over what was apparently the scene
photo.
Of the crash, and the photos of the vehicle that Tiger Woods was driving, again, single car wreck, and his car, as you can see from some of the photos that are out there, had rolled over, and Tiger Woods transported to a local hospital in the LA area via, and they had to remove him from the vehicle via the jaws of life. So obviously troubling to see some of those videos, the severity of the wreck that Tiger Woods was reportedly in and now confirmed in this morning. We had spent the last, and we'll continue to spend probably the next month at least, talking about Deshaun Watson and trade scenarios and values and teams giving that up. But here we are today, and we're talking more about Russell Wilson because 2 weeks ago, he was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he voiced his opinion about issues, not protection, the offensive line not having protection, and mentioning not having the weapons, perhaps, and not having enough say. And it seemed like honest comments. We know the Seahawks front office didn't like it, yet they still said, hey, we're not entertaining any trade offers. It feels like maybe there's a little bit more wiggle room there. Listen to Mike Silver, who was on NFL Network yesterday.
Russell Wilson clearly made a concerted effort to convey some things after the season, and the Seahawks are staying quiet. But internally, they got the message. They're not thrilled that their quarterback felt that way, and teams have been calling. Probably a third of the league have reached out to inquire about Russell Wilson. And remember, Seahawks general manager John Schneider is not one of those people who ever says, we have nothing to talk about. He listens to anything and everything all the time. And so that doesn't mean that there are actual trade talks going on, but certainly teams have reached out. What's a realistic price if the Seahawks were to trade Russell Wilson? I think you start with something like 3 first-round draft picks. That's kind of the message that other teams believe, would be conveyed. But, I still think there is a lot of time to get through this rough patch.
I think if you hear that, we'll get to the compensation in a second, where the three first-rounders are. Like the fact that
I would take them I would pay that in a second. Sorry, if I were another team.
Yeah, like the fact though that while he says the Seahawks aren't talking trade with teams, the fact that teams are actually calling just tells you that the door is open just a tad. It's a way different scenario between Houston and Seattle. Seattle, he might be upset a little bit with how they've approached the franchise. They still won a Super Bowl together. Deshaun Watson had no relationship, it sounds like, with Bill O'Brien, even when he was there, and certainly with Easterby and McNair family. They haven't talked in months and everything, and there's reasons they haven't won anything in Houston together. Deshaun Watson may have signed that contract, but he also had a no-trade clause. Like, he was already maybe having a feeling. We just didn't know at the time. And so the door's cracked. I think it's a little bit different scenario, but even the discussion we're having today about Russell Wilson, the fact that this is a discussion that even occurs just tells you how different things are heading in the NFL. Like I would have said before, there's no way Deshaun Watson could get traded, and we'll see if he ultimately does. There's no way Russell Wilson to get traded. I don't think he's going to get traded. But the fact that these are conversations we can have without people laughing, basically,
yeah,
right?
Because we should laugh if we say, could Russell Wilson leave Seattle?
Uh-huh.
The future Hall of Famer, who's only in his early 30s, that's laughable, right?
Right. And the fact that we're having these, though, in somewhat serious conversations about it just tells you that nobody in the NFL really is untradeable unless there's some, like, for example, Patrick Mahomes is the only untradeable player because there's no issues right now between Andy Reid and him and Brett Veach and him and et cetera.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, I know it sounds nuts, but 10 years from now, there's no guarantees. We don't know how things are going to go. Look at Brady and Belichick.
Don't even put that on the universe.
I'm just saying. He's untradeable. Everybody else
Absolutely.
Is tradable. Everybody else in the league is tradable. I don't care who you are. Aaron Donald, any other quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, anybody else is absolutely can still be traded in the NFL based on what we've seen.
Wild time to be alive. I do have a quick story update on the Tiger Woods single car accident. Again, if you missed the news, Tiger Woods has been confirmed to be in a single car accident in the LA area. That was confirmed by the LA County Sheriff. He was removed from the car with the jaws of life. His agent has now released a statement. Mark Steinberg saying Tiger Woods, quote, Tiger Woods was in a single car accident this morning in California, where he suffered multiple leg injuries. He is currently in surgery, and we thank you for your privacy and support. And so, again, still no real update on exactly the severity of it. Obviously, if you've seen some of the photos that are out there from multiple sources at this time, you know just how, serious that accident appears, right? I mean, it's absolutely like a horrifying kind of looking accident, at least on that end from the condition of the car. But when you're getting to the point of using jaws of life and somebody's in surgery, it's not surprising. But again, no other major information at this moment.
Yeah, this report. So that was the statement from the agent, obviously, direct from the source there. And CNN just put out a report that Tiger Woods' injuries range from moderate to critical. So, I mean, it backs up kind of what that statement said there. But
if you're in surgery,
it's very, very serious situation involving Tiger Woods and a crash this morning out in the L.A. area. Again, he was out in that area because the Genesis Invitational tournament that he was not participating in due to back surgery in December, he was doing an interview with Jim Nance, and we just played the audio of it yesterday. So our thoughts and prayers with him. And again, golf is on the back burner here. It's at this point, can he, you know,
you're worried about very, very serious things for one of the greatest golfers to ever play. But I mean, it's just it's obviously terrifying anytime something like that obviously occurs for anybody, but something we'll be keeping a very close eye out on over the rest of the day. And again, if there is more to update on it, I'm sure the drive coming up here too will update you on it. But as of right now, that's what we know. Single car accident with Tiger Woods. He's currently in surgery, according to his agent, where he suffered multiple leg injury and had to be removed from the crash using the jaws of life. Scary. Really, really scary.
Just a reminder, you know, again, life very, very precious. Just there, unfortunately, you get reminders. We've had far too many reminders of that as of late. We'll continue to pray for Tiger Woods and his family to get through this.
The final word.
Obviously not the happiest way to end the show to talk about the very serious Tiger Woods thing, but some good coming out of some sadness. If you can, I would really like you to donate to the Therese Paylor Scholarship at Howard University. It's where he went. He was proud to have gone there, and he would love to inspire more young black journalists to do similar things he was able to do in this business. The Kansas City Star, the Wall Street Journal, and Yahoo Sports have put together a scholarship over at Howard University that you can donate to right now. Go to giving.howard.edu. Under the Tribute tab, you'll just note that this is in memory of Therese A. Paylor. And under the designation, click Other and write in Therese A. Paylor Scholarship. If you need those instructions, they're available on my Twitter page, at Cody B. Tapper. You can find them at 610 Sports KC. Obviously devastating what happened there a few weeks ago as well, but a chance to do some good and inspire some people the way Therese Paylor did as well. So if you're able to donate to the Therese Paylor Scholarship at Howard, I would really love you to be able to do so. Please, again, just go to giving.howard.edu and then just hit up one of our Twitter accounts for the instructions on exactly how to donate to the Therese A. Paylor Scholarship.
No question about that. We'll continue to tweet out links to that to remind people how to get involved in that. We're back at it tomorrow from 10 to 2. We'll have Combine Day 3 results. We'll move on to the bench press and see how everybody did in that. The boss says that it could be an adventurous one standing-wise tomorrow. For now, we hand it off to the drive.
Presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip funding guys at kzlend.com.